Blog Talk Radio.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Horoscope Detective Show. This is your host, Issachar Bey. I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. We have a very, very special guest, one who's definitely no stranger to our show. Well, it's a new show now, but he's been with us for plenty of times, and we have so many good times to talk about. He's a great astrologer. Just to see his level of expansion of what he's done thus far. He's now an author. He's a shaman. He's elevated into the healing modality of metaphysics, and we're just honored to have him. We're going to bring him on right now, Mr. Benjamin Bernstein. Hello.
Hello, Issachar. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man? It's great to have you on the show, man. Definitely thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. For those, the switchboard is already lit up, I guess people calling in for readings. Before we get into that,
great.
I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself. And also, those that may remember, you're in a different place now than you were before. You're expanded now. You're a little bit, you have added a little bit more to your repertoire, and that's great. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with you, and tell us about the book and all these other great things that you got going on.
Sure. In terms of expanding the repertoire, of course, I've been an astrologer for quite a few years, but I'm also now a shamanic healer, and I'm happy to do that modality either alone or in combination with astrology and the other stuff I do. The third main thing I do is called awakening activation, and I was inspired about 3 years ago with a super simple way to help people very frequently reach what I would call the awakened state, a state of absolute peace and bliss in just a few minutes. It's very common for people to get there in literally 10 or 15 minutes, even if they've never done any serious meditation before. The veils are getting super thin now between the spirit world and the physical world, and the kind of consciousness that you used to have to work years to get to can now literally be had for the asking. So I'm very excited to be able to share that along with my astrology work and my shamanic healing work. That is a I'm not the only author in that book. It is a compilation. It's called Transpersonal Astrology Explorations at the Frontier, and I'm one of 16 authors. Each of us wrote a chapter, and my chapter is on something I didn't actually mention a moment ago. It's shamanic astrology, and it's the idea that the planets aren't just, you know, orbiting unconscious things out there. They are living beings, and if you have something going on in your chart where you're getting a challenge from like Saturn or Pluto, for example, is giving you a hard time either natally or by transit, you can actually sit down and say, hey, Saturn, let's get along a little better here. Instead of throwing up obstacles and roadblocks, why don't you help me embody more maturity and responsibility and better planning so that, you know, my life can run more smoothly? Once you have the basic astrological understanding that each force in the chart, whether it's a planet, a sign, or a house, or an aspect, is neither good nor bad, it's just energy connecting some way to other energy, and you understand its upside potential, and every single thing has that, then you can simply communicate with that planet and say, hey, I'd rather you work in this more harmonious way. And I've never seen it fail. When a client does that, the energy start to smooth out and become more harmonious. And the chapter I wrote in the Transpersonal Astrology book is called, it is a shamanic astrology chapter, and it describes A to Z everything I know about how to do that. I should mention briefly, I'm not the only one who does something called shamanic astrology, and every time I've come across that, the astrologer is doing something different. So there is no consistency among what is called shamanic astrology. Each approach seems to be unique and inspired by that particular astrologer, but what I just described is the way I approach it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Those of you that are listening, you can go to his website, astroshaman.com, and you can order the book. Also, you can schedule a consultation with him. The reading you get today will be just a little quick. It'll be just something to give you a little insight. But for a more in-depth, full consultation with him, he has a lot of great things going on. He does gift certificates. He does everything. Benjamin, tell them a little bit about when they get a consultation with you, what they can expect, and also tell them the different ways they can contact you.
Sure. Most of my work these days is on the phone, a little bit by Skype. I live in Asheville, North Carolina, and they're happy to welcome to work with me in person, but you know, the vast majority are over the phone. Everything I do, whether it's astrology or shamanic healing or awakening activation, is every bit as effective by phone or Skype as it is in person. Energy does not care about distance. And I'm very flexible. I'll work anywhere from 10 minutes to 4 hours. And I have a sliding scale, so if my regular fees seem a little pricey, you know, I'm happy to adjust those within the sliding scale that I offer. I actually have a very unusual pricing structure. I actually don't take advance payment. And I'll go to the end of the session and I'll ask, was I helpful? And if that client says, no, you weren't, then I'm not going to take their money. That almost never happens, but I always extend the offer. And once they have had the session, then I say, okay, you just had the experience. You have a sense of what it was worth to you. So now you have a better take on where to put your fee on the sliding scale. And I take all forms of payment. So that's a little on the astrology side. In terms of what I do astrologically, it's Western-style counseling, the way most people do astrology in the United States. I also will routinely include astromapping to look at where are good places to live and work and such. I do electional astrology to help you find out the best time to do something, a major event or purchase. Often if it's timed, it'll go more smoothly. And I do, you know, couples astrology, business astrology, so I'm fairly versatile on that. And in terms of other ways people can find out more about me, I have a weekly podcast. It's the number one astrology podcast on iTunes. And if you just go to iTunes and type the phrase "This Week in Astrology," you'll come right up on it. Or if you just type the keyword astrology, when you get down to the podcast section, you'll see it's the very first one listed, which shows that it's the most popular. I've also just started a video podcast, well, actually a video forecast, I should say, where I'm actually going on camera now and doing roughly a 15-minute forecast for the week, and I'm posting those on YouTube every week, and people can link to those from my site, astroshaman.com. I've got a lot of free resources on the site, free stuff you can get, as well as my paid services. So anyone who'd like to check out astroshaman.com, I encourage you. In my opinion, frankly, the most valuable thing I have on the site is the invocations I was mentioning, where people can say a few words and call in their own healing and awakening. And on the home page, right at the top of the sidebar, there's a little purple box, and it says Heal and Awaken Invocations. And people can just click that. It'll take them to a page devoted entirely to what they can do on their own to experience that. So that's probably there's even more than that, but that's probably a sufficient summary for now.
Real quick to the astrologers who are listening, who may have software, tell them a little bit about the SolarFire and what you believe that it brings to a gift it is to the astrologer, and how you, I know you have a special thing that you do with SolarFire that they can get it from your website.
Yeah, I am an authorized dealer for SolarFire. And by the way, they just last Sunday released SolarFire version 9, the major new upgrade to the program. So it can now be upgraded if you had a prior version. SolarFire is simply the most popular astrology software among professional astrologers. It calculates charts. It does interpretations. It's vastly deep and broad, and yet the interface is so cool because when you just use it in the basic way, it's super simple, so all the advanced features don't get in your way. It is for Windows, but it runs just fine on the Mac if you're doing Windows emulation software. It also runs on Windows tablets if you have one of those. I guarantee that no one will beat my price because as a dealer, no dealer is allowed to discount the basic price more than 10%. I routinely discount at 10%. So if another dealer tried to sell it cheaper, they'd literally lose their ability to sell it. So I can guarantee lowest price on the web. And if they go to astroshaman.com and go to products, then SolarFire is one of the products that pulls down there. And I have updated my site area to reflect the new SolarFire version and the new features. So I hope that's a sufficient answer for that.
That's great. Those of you that are listening in, we're tuning in to Benjamin Bernstein. He's the astro shaman astrologer. Definitely a great site. Go to his website, sign in, join his mailing list. This is somebody who you definitely want to stay in contact with. He's a great consultant, and we're going to get started here. I'm going to take a crack at it first. I just had a birthday about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you just take a quick look at my natal chart and let's see what we can see real quick. It's on March 2nd.
Okay, before you go further, I think I've already got you in the system, so I'm pulling you up under your old name here. Hang on a minute.
Okay.
I've got March 2nd, 1978, 8:14 p.m., Brooklyn, New York. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and there's one critical thing I forgot to mention, if I may just throw it in real quickly. I also offer a free weekly newsletter that has the next week's forecast in it. So if someone wants to get this is not just sun sign stuff. I just go with the aspects, and I'm not afraid to talk about trines and sextiles and quincunxes and get technical where it needs to be, or aspect patterns. So if you want real astrology forecasting, you know, with the real nuts and bolts in there made accessible, then my free weekly newsletter is available right from the homepage of astroshaman.com. So let me just get that in there too. All right. Oh, my gosh, Jonathan, you've got Uranus on your descendant. I apologize. I just used your old name. Issachar is what I meant to say. Do you want me to just say what's just jumping right off your chart that I immediately saw when I opened it up?
I see the Pluto opposite the midheaven too, so yeah, go ahead, tell me about it.
Well, let me just mention the big astrology news of the year is the Grand Cross peaking on April 22nd. And at that moment, we have four planets creating a square in the sky, a literal square, Pluto, Uranus, Jupiter, and Mars, all in cardinal signs. And they're all going to be between 13 and 14 degrees, each one in a different cardinal sign. And, in fact, I'm doing a big lecture on this tonight at Crystal Visions in near the Asheville area. And I'm also going to be I've already got a 2014 forecast on my site that discusses this in depth. If people want to download that, it's free. But the reason I mentioned this, Jonathan, is background is because you've got your midheaven at basically 13 degrees 50 minutes Cancer. Your IC is obviously then 13:50 Capricorn. Your ascendant-descendant axis is basically 12. So this cardinal cross is lining up right on your angles. This is big. This is a major stimulation here. So what I'd like to do in terms of discussing you, let me briefly first say what the effect of the cardinal grand cross is super briefly, and then let me describe how it is affecting you just pretty much across the board. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So the grand cross that is already, you know, tightening up now is mainly Pluto, Uranus square each other, activated by transiting Jupiter and Mars. So the Uranus-Pluto square we're in the midst of, you know, 4 years of those guys squaring each other. They started in 2012, and they'll keep on through 2015. And a Uranus-Pluto square is the activation of revolutionary transformation. And this is true for everybody. I mean, I don't think anyone, you know, paying attention to the world right now is unaware that things are going crazy out there. Russia's invaded Crimea. There's riots in Venezuela. You know, gay rights are exploding in the United States. There's things that, you know, whether you perceive them as good or bad, you know, there's a lot of big radical change happening very fast right now. And this is always the case when the planets Pluto and Uranus in the sky are making a strong contact. And when they make a quadrature contact, which means a conjunction, an opposition, or a square, 0 degrees, 180, or 90, they really turn on super powerful. So, you know, we've had a lot of revolutionary change, you know, since they came close enough to start contacting back in 2008 when we had the financial crisis. They're now in a series of exact hits to each other. And now when that's augmented by Jupiter and Mars, which are two really potent activation planets, Jupiter says, I just want to expand whatever else is going on. And Mars said, let's get something fiery started. Let's, you know, light the fires of activation and initiation. Then that becomes like a powder keg energetically. So a powder keg, of course, can blow things up destructively, or it can launch a rocket into space. So it depends how you use it. I'm actually running specials right now on Grand Cross consultations to help clients who have a lineup like you've got, Issachar, you know, use it effectively. So that's how I'm going to address this in your chart. But basically, the times we're in call for big revolutionary change. These are not status quo times. These are times to be thinking not how can I preserve what I've got, but how can I rocket forward and really, you know, take my evolution and my consciousness expansion and, you know, move to a whole new level. So that's really the energy of the times right now. So let's relate that to your chart, Issachar. And I'm going to say to you initially the same things I would say to anybody who had this lining up on their axes, ascendant, descendant, midheaven, IC, because for everyone, these axes begin to mean the same thing. And then if you wish, we can go deeper into the signs that are there. But with revolutionary transformation coming to your ascendant, the ascendant is the mask or persona you show to the world. So if you are being inspired to change your appearance, the way you look, the way you behave, the fundamental energy you transmit just routinely every day, this is a great time to do that. Just out of curiosity, how recently did you change your name to Issachar?
Last year.
Okay. So you already had Pluto and Uranus working your ascendant when you did that. So there's a profound shift in your persona. You changed your name. So there's one obvious example already, right? Okay. So the other thing about the ascendant is, you know, what I talked about is how you're perceived, but Pluto and Uranus sending their energy out the ascendant means right now you are powerfully, you know, juiced up to be an agent of revolutionary transformation right now, Issachar. Pluto and Uranus are shooting their energy out your ascendant. If you ever wanted to go out and make a big difference in the world, this would be an amazing time to do that. The fact that they're also lining up very powerfully on your midheaven, which is your reputation in the world, how you're perceived long-term, not just on first impression, you know, that's a double, you know, message there. So, you know, you going out and doing your thing in the world to bring the positive change you're here to bring, I can't imagine it ever being more strongly impacted than it is right now in the next couple of years while Pluto and Uranus work the midheaven and the ascendant. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's mainly the ascendant, a little midheaven, but let's keep going around. That was the ascendant is house cusp number one. House cusp number four would be the fourth house. And in the physical world, that represents home and family. So great time to revolutionize anything that's not working in that. If you have family relationships that are not harmonious, maybe you can revolutionize them and make them more harmonious instead. It could also be that if you've got a family situation, that person just is not going to get along with you and they're a toxic influence. Maybe it's time to cut the cord entirely and just write that person out of your life or minimize contact with them. Those are all possible ways to work with that. The fourth house also represents the physical place you live, whether it's a home or an apartment or whatever it may be. And if you are in any way motivated to relocate or move, it's a great time to do it because Pluto on the IC and Uranus squaring it is an amazing time to, you know, make shifts in the home environment that support your evolution and you know, quantum leaps up to the next thing. If you don't move, if you're inspired to renovate or redecorate, those are great ways to use Pluto and Uranus lining up on the fourth. The fourth also has an additional meaning that is the deep unconscious. The fourth house is the deepest, most hidden place in the chart. So what I always see, even if no one's relocating or their family stuff is all fine, what I always see with this transit like this is that you've got a lot of stuff coming up for clearing emotionally and psychologically. All the old unresolved baggage is coming up in bucket loads and needs to be cleared. Am I correct that that's a strong influence in your life right now?
Well, I got a lot of things going on, so yeah, I kind of see it, you know, it's definitely all the chips are falling in place as far as what's getting ready to happen, so yeah.
Okay, so you're having a lot of, you're getting triggered, a lot of old stuff is coming up that was perhaps repressed before this, and now it's wanting to come up and be purged out and cleared? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like a lot of old people that I used to talk to are coming back into, you know, coming back into the environment, just a lot of things from the past, yes.
Good. Okay, so it's a great time for release, and I have an invocation that I recommend to people who are having a strong influence like this, and it's just seven words. If you just talk to your divine self and you just say maximum clearing that serves highest good, please, and then you rest passively in your breath, you know, whatever is up and disturbing you can be just, you know, flushed off. You know, it's like you get a rinse of divine energy and it just wipes that stuff off you. So it's amazing how simple it is to just call in a healing like that and just passively receive it, and it can wipe out stuff you've been trying to clear on your own for years, and it can take it out in minutes sometimes. So it's really a sweet way to work that. All right, so that's the fourth house. The seventh house is all relationships of importance. It could be romantic, it could be platonic, it could be family, business, it could be an open enemy, you know, whatever. Anyone who's important in your life is a seventh house relationship, and Uranus is on the seventh house cusp for you, very close to exact right now, just half a degree off. And so it's time to look carefully at the people you're hanging out with. You said a lot of old people were coming back. You know, with a Pluto square to the descendant, the first thing I would say is, you know, who do you need to release? Where's the dead weight? You know, under a Pluto-Uranus transit to such key points in your chart, you know, you're being asked to make a quantum leap to the next level of who you can be. And if you're hanging out with people who are expecting you to stay the same, or worse yet, trying to pull you back into who you used to be, that's not helping you. So with those kind of people, if they can't become your cheerleaders for your growth, it's better to release them or minimize contact. However, it's also an incredible time to draw to you people who are, you know, Uranian, who are embodying the revolutionary leap you're one to take, but they're already there. They can give you a hand up. And Plutonian people, people who are very powerful and charismatic, and they have no desire to dominate or control you, but just being around them, you know, makes you transform faster. You get the osmosis effect from them. So basically, look around, ask where are the people who are more like what I want to be, and then you just start hanging out with those people the best you can. That's a great strategy with Uranus and Pluto aspecting the descendant itself. And the final piece, I talked a little already about the midheaven, which is, you know, your career. Just out of curiosity, are you stable in what you do for a living, or are you contemplating some kind of significant change there?
Oh, definitely looking for a significant change, man. I'm definitely, the change is coming. I'm setting everything up, man. But, yeah, I'm definitely trying to move into more full-time like what you're doing. Like, you know, allowing my gift to take care of me. You know, allowing
Beautiful.
My, you know. You know, so that's the shift that I'm planning on making. But yeah, definitely,
great.
It's definitely a time for change.
Yeah. So what's happening for you is Uranus is square your midheaven, Pluto's opposing it. Again, I cannot imagine a more powerful lineup on your midheaven in this entire life. So if ever there was a time to make a revolutionary change in your career, it would be now. In the next couple of years, well, you know, Uranus will be holding that square for about another year. Pluto should be about two more years opposing the midheaven, so you got plenty of time to work the shift. So those would be, I think, the big major headlines screaming off your chart. now, the one thing I'll say about your chart is it's a flip-over chart, is my term for it, when each house on its cusp has the opposite sign of its natural nature. So the first house, for example, is naturally Aries flavored, but you have Libra on the cusp. The descendant, naturally Libra flavored, has Aries. And that's the same all the way around. Every single house, at least in my Porphyry house system, has the opposite sign on its cusp. So one theme that is basic for you is the harmonization of opposites. That's actually operating in every single area of your life with every single house cusp, its opposite natural state. So you're being asked, when you see what appear to be opposing views, your challenge, how can I see the common ground between these complementary opposites and creatively blend them together? So that theme is going to be working, you know, very strongly as well. Now, the reason I mention that is you have, you know, my Porphyry system put your house cusps very evenly. All of your house cusps range rounding between 12 and 14 degrees. So that means this Grand Cross, even when it's not lining up exactly on them, you know, the Grand Cross planets are aspecting every single house cusp in your chart. So it's a great time to bring that revolutionary change to absolutely every area of your life. And let me give you one final tool that also would be true for anyone who's getting the Uranus, the Grand Cross right now activated in their chart, which is follow your intuitive flashes. Uranus, you know, sends those down. And, you know, I mentioned earlier every planet has a high expression and a low expression. Well, the high expression of Uranus is he pops you an intuitive flash, and if you do it, then you can move very comfortably and seamlessly into the new reality. But if you resist the paradigm shift he's calling for you, then he may have to do a tough love approach, and he may have to throw increasing amounts of instability and chaos and insanity into your life in order to uproot you from the thing you're clinging to that has outworn its usefulness so that he can pop you into the new, better reality. And I view all transiting planets, as I said, as intelligent beings, and I basically view them all as agents for your higher self, the divine consciousness that is you, the part of you that you know, created the ego and put it on assignment to do and learn certain things while it's in a human body. And those planets are kind of there to keep us on task. And when we're cooperating with the task, life goes very flowingly and swimmingly, and when we're off task, that's when the suffering and difficulty arises. So those are the really big headlines for you. The other thing I'd mention super briefly in terms of just headline events is you've got Chiron on your Mercury, and Mercury is the mental function. How do I learn? How do I communicate? Chiron is the healer and the mentor. So if you are moving, basically this says if you are speaking to people, communicating to them about healing and mentoring, this is an incredible empowerment of that. Mercury in my porphyry house system is in your sixth house of service, so your ability to be a better healer and mentor is very strong. This Mercury is in Pisces, and this means that you can relax and be more of a channel for the information. You don't have to figure it all out in your left brain. Just relax and say, hey, Spirit, just talk through me for whatever this person needs, and the words will come right out. And by the way, Mercury also in medical astrology rules the hands and the arms. So Mercury here is also expressive of you being an energy healer and energy coming out through your hands. I want to very quickly relate something that just happened to me for the first time today. It's something I learned from my partner, Kimberly, who's an incredible healer. And what she had been telling me for a while is as a healer, she does a lot of healing, but she doesn't know what it's about. She'll feel energy move and clear, and she knows that's happening, but in other words, the content, what was the stuff that got clear, she may not always know. But she said, but I always know if I ask after. And I did a shamanic healing today with a person, and she had this pain in her stomach, and afterwards she said, well, what was that that cleared? And I said, well, I don't know. Let me ask. And I just said, okay, Spirit, what was that? And it just took about 2 seconds, and all of a sudden my mouth started moving and words started coming out, and I was literally channeling the information of what had come, what had been in there that I had not consciously known a moment before. And I believe that anybody can do this. So the principle here that you could start working with, if you're not already, with Chiron, you know, that mentor healer on a Pisces Mercury, is if you need to know something, instead of going through a lot of left brain gymnastics, just stop and say, Spirit, what's the answer? And just stay quiet a minute and see if the answer doesn't just flow through. It's very cool.
And the Chiron Mercury
does that
is navel.
Say what?
The Chiron Mercury is at natal about transit.
No, Chiron is transiting. Right now it's exactly at 14 Pisces, and your Mercury is at 1535 Pisces. So
yeah,
it's transiting Chiron
okay.
on your Mercury. It's already hit your Sun at 12 Pisces, and next year it'll hit your Venus at 22 Pisces. So
okay.
The Chiron, you know, hits to your Pisces planets is a very big theme for you as well, along with the Cardinal Grand Cross. So
okay.
Should we open space for some other callers, Jonathan? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I've got that name up on the chart, and I need to keep replacing it with your new name. I apologize.
We're going to go with area code 719-225. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Julia. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure, Julia. Let me start by putting your chart in, because I will need that. What's your date of birth?
September 16th, 1961.
And do you know what time you were born?
Approximately 10:52 a.m.
That's a pretty close approximate. And what city was that?
Salem Center, Ohio.
Salem Center, Ohio. I got it. Let me confirm. One thing I always do is I immediately read back what I have. I've got September 16, 1961, 10:52 a.m., Salem Center, Ohio. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That gives me Scorpio rising 18 degrees 47 minutes and the moon in Sag at 8 degrees 44 minutes. Does that sound correct?
I suppose so. I'm not an astrologer myself,
sorry. All right, so what's your question?
Actually, I love the idea of the headlines. It's like I was just sitting here thinking, wow, the headlines of my life. That's cool.
Okay. Well, let's see who's being stimulated in a big way. You are not being lined up on by the Cardinal Grand Cross, so that's not the big news for you. Let me check the other planets and see where the big news is. Give me just a second. Okay, I see transit Neptune is on your Chiron. Transit Chiron's on your Pallas Athena. I'm just talking out loud as I check these things out. Give me just a moment to scan. Saturn in your first house early. That's probably a big headline for you. Okay, there's several things happening for you. You don't have a lot of what I call screaming headlines, but you have some things that are of significance. Both Pluto and Uranus are aspecting your midheaven by what I would call minor hard aspects. They're each from a different corner coming in at a 135-degree angle to your midheaven, which is the career spot. So and when I talked about Jonathan's career, I got to stop that. Is the cards. Midheaven. This is not as strong as what he's getting, but it's about half as strong. So I would just be curious, are you contemplating some kind of significant shift in your career at this point?
Basically, where I am in my life is I'm coming to the end of a 30-year marriage, and I've been a homemaker,
so I'll definitely
be needing to re-enter the workforce. I just don't really know what that's going to look like just yet.
Okay. We could take a brief look at possibilities. I could very, very briefly give a sketch of what the chart says about career possibilities. Let me mention, since you mentioned the marriage ending, that would obviously make a huge shift in the home, right?
Right, yes.
Okay. So if Pluto and Uranus are making this 135-degree aspect to the midheaven, it's called a sesquiquadrate or a sesquisquare. That means they're also making a semi-square 45 degrees to the fourth house cusp. So this other minor hard aspect to the fourth house is one of the things that's been sort of stimulating that shift in the marital situation. So revolutionary change is being called for both at home and in the workplace. So both of these events are definitely astrologically supported. Would you like a touch on what the chart suggests about career paths for you?
I would love that. Yes, please.
Okay. All right, the midheaven for you is Leo, and Leo is like the performer in the spotlight, the queen. So your ultimate ideal profession has you leading or being in a powerful position somehow. We've also got Pluto strongly in your 10th house, a very powerful planet. The sun itself is also in the 10th, shining forth in service in Virgo. So if it's appropriate to have something where you have some kind of leadership going on, I don't know if that seems realistic to you or not, but that's the ultimate high expression of the chart. You also have natal Uranus conjunct your midheaven natally. All this is natal things I'm describing here, so they last a lifetime. And that's saying your ideal work is something really unusual and outside the box. There's something you do that's unique and different than how other people do it. And Uranus in the midheaven says your ideal work is going to be something that you have a unique gift for and you do it in a special way. Another meaning of Uranus midheaven is that you might do a variety of jobs. Uranus loves diversity and variety. Whatever you do, you're going to want to keep shaking it up. Even if it's, you know, you keep the same job for a while after you get back in the workforce, you'll want to constantly reinvent the job, you know, innovate, keep it fresh, that kind of thing. Your chart's not really built for, like, routine, mundane things that you're doing the same thing over and over again. So, you know, something that makes use of your unique talents and is always fresh and interesting with Uranus on the midheaven would be a really great way to play that. The ruler of your midheaven is the sun, which is late in the 10th house in Virgo. And Virgo says that you are going to love your work best when you're helping other people, and that you something possibly in healthcare or where you help others in some kind of healing capacity would be really good if you can manage that. I just flashed on multi-level somehow. And I've never told this to anyone before, but I'm honoring an intuitive flash I just got. You know, this is a Virgo way. You know, the great thing about if you are motivated and good with people, you know, even if you feel like you don't have a lot of skills or talents, if you get a really legitimate, excellent multi-level product and you know, and if it's in a healthcare realm because of the Virgo, that might be an interesting approach. Are you in a situation where you have a marketable skill where you could get a decent job, or do you feel like you are, you know, at a loss for what you would do to earn enough money?
I'm at a loss for what I would do. I'm actually, okay. You talked about the variety of jobs, and that's sort of been my pattern, but I've been a homemaker for a very long time, so my skills
right.
are outdated.
Yeah. Have you ever had experience in sales, or are you good when you're excited about something? Are you good at talking to people about it and helping them see the benefits of what you're excited about?
You know, I think I would be if it was something that really spoke to me, that I felt that, you know, if I believed in it, yes, I think I could.
Okay. So again, that one is an example of my intuition speaking to me. You know, I personally am not involved in multi-level, and I actually tend to shy away from it personally, you know.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that's what came through for me as a way. You know, I know the one thing I do know about multi-level is you have to really apply yourself and put a lot of time and energy into it. You do get out of it what you put into it. But I was a salesperson for almost 20 years as a profession before I got into music and astrology and shamanic healing and all that. So I do know that sales is a very honorable profession if your product or service is reputable and you're marketing it in a way that really is a win-win for everybody. So that's just what came to me as a thought. You know, it may or may not be the path you choose, but it might be an interesting avenue to explore if something resonated in you when I said that. Okay?
Okay.
So, again, we have to stay fairly brief on the show here. I'm just scanning to see if there's any other huge headlines. I am getting another intuition, if I can share it, which is the ending of this marriage is going to be a very good thing for you. My sense is there's been a lot of restriction of who you are, and you've been sort of kept under a blanket too much, and this is your chance to be liberated and follow the path of what you're really here to do in a more significant way. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, that's
okay.
Absolutely.
So I know it's a big transition, but I'm getting such a strong confirmation that this is so much in your highest good. And whether whoever initiated it or whatever the circumstances are don't really matter. It's just like, yeah, start the new life and get on with the business of what you're really here to do in this incarnation. And that will become more and more clear to you. With Uranus so tight on your midheaven, you will have all sorts of intuitive flashes supporting you. So if you're not already connected to your inner wisdom at all, just, you know, take time to relax every day and say, okay, you know, higher self, spirit, God, you know, what are my activities for the day? And just start turning to your inner guidance if you're not already doing that. And you will get a lot of great guidance from within if you are not already. So that's just some advice I wanted to give you based on your strong Uranus placement. Those intuitive flashes should be popping very easily when you ask for them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually at your website, too, looking at your core invocations, and I bookmarked
it. Yeah, that stuff is very powerful. So give that a shot and see if that doesn't open some things up for you.
Awesome.
Yeah, one thing I didn't mention is I've actually got MP3s on the invocation page where you can actually download or stream my voice guiding you through them, and there's a lot of energy in those recordings. So if reading about it isn't enough, you can actually have me guide you through it, you know, often as you like, and all that stuff is free over there on the invocation page.
Excellent.
Okay, so does that answer your most urgent question, Julia?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, those are
okay.
The two big
good
big ticket items.
One more thing I want to say is I will have to mention you have Saturn early in your first house, and he's dancing the cusp of the first house until fall. So you've just, what that says, timing-wise, you've just ended about 2 years of release. Saturn in the 12th house, of letting go of all the things that don't serve you. And you have now launched a new 30-year cycle. That's how long he takes to run around your horoscope by transit, and building new structures and a new plan. So, you know, if it's time to end a marriage, it's a great time to do it with Saturn, you know, coming out of the 12th and into the 1st. So your timing is excellent on that score. Okay?
Speaking of timing, since you just brought that up, is there a better time for me? I haven't filed yet. I was thinking between now and May, between now and May. I'm sort of trying to get my ducks in a row.
I mean, I could talk about transits to your chart, but I would really address that as an electional question. What electional astrology does is it finds the best moment, often within a time frame of just a few minutes, to initiate a legal action like that or start something major like a contract signing or whatever.
Okay.
So there's no way, I mean, it usually takes an hour or two of intense study to find that perfect time, so there's no way I can do that here on the show.
Okay.
But if it's very important that filing of the divorce be really have the outcome you want, then you might contemplate having me or another astrologer do an election for that and make sure that the timing of the filing is really supporting you to get the best outcome from that.
Okay, and it's called an election chart?
Yeah, it's called electional astrology. And it's a very specialized form of technical astrology that is just all about what is the, in other words, we would say that the filing of the divorce, you know, filing would be the birth of an event, the beginning of the divorce. And you want the natal chart of that divorce filing to be set up in a way that it's the absolute most supportive and auspicious for you. And that's what electional astrology does. It finds the best time to start something.
Wow, very cool. I didn't know that, you know, it was
its own
unique
branch. Yeah,
there's
more info on my site about that. Yeah, I've got a little section on electional astrology on astroshaman.com if you want to read up on that a little bit.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate this.
My pleasure. And
it's wonderful.
Blessings to you.
Thank you very much, and to you. And thank you for taking my call, Issachar.
Okay, well, right before you hang up real quick, I know you're going to connect with... Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing a really broken up audio. Am I sounding okay?
Hello?
You're breaking
hello?
Up. Benjamin was breaking up.
Okay, how do I sound now?
Better now.
You sound pretty good.
You're good. May I make a quick note? I want to delineate what I did in that last little consultation. I was doing both astrology and I was channeling intuitive information. And my own way of doing that is I'm always careful to discriminate what is the astrology and what is the intuitive guidance. Because astrology does not give the kind of concrete specifics that I was giving to Julia. So I just want to know, astrology is archetypally predictive and descriptive, but it doesn't nail things down like multi-level and things like that. So I just want to be clear that I'm combining, in a sense, two modalities, the astrological information my left brain can access along with the intuitive information I'm getting on the right side brain. So I just wanted to make a comment on that. So
okay,
should
also,
we...
I just want to say one quick thing to Julia. This is Issachar. Not only am I an astrologer, I'm also a numerologist and a clairvoyant. You probably get with Benjamin to do the electional chart as to when to get the divorce. But this year for you is a year of major changes, and May is going to be the month of new beginnings. So May would actually be a good month. I guess you can get with another astrologer to do an electional astrology as to actually find out when in May. But May is going to be a month of new beginnings, new starts. You're going to have to make some major decisions. So May looks like it will be that month for you to kind of just move forward and get everything, you know, out of your life that's not beneficial or not doing you any good.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for that. I just want to say with that you were talking about the exact time when I said it was a guesstimate. I was born at home, and the only thing that anybody could agree on as far as time was that the cartoon Mighty Mouse was on. So this was like my best guess.
great.
That was my intuitive hit of the time. I was trying to, you know. So anyhow, okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call and for the guidance in the astrology. So thank you so much, both of you.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to area code 323-633. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome
Hi.
To the show. Could I
thank
get your
you.
First name and your natal data, please?
My name is Holly.
Okay, and what
my
what
birthday...
date?
It's March 21st, 1960.
Okay, and what time?
2:29 p.m.
And the city was?
Long Beach, California.
You know, if there's a short beach, I've never heard of it. Yeah, Holly, you're born just about a month after me, so we have a similar birth chart. So what's your question, Holly?
Well, I recently lost my employment.
Okay.
And so I learned a lot through that process of my last job, that this time I should pick something I really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of me this last month just feels like it's been delayed, like it's not supposed to flow right now. And I'm
okay.
just kind of wondering what you're looking at there as far as
okay.
when maybe work options will start coming in.
Okay. All right. So just FYI, the Cardinal Grand Cross is not hitting anything sensitive in your chart with the main angles. So that's not the story for you right now. If we're looking at work issues, your midheaven has Taurus on the cusp, which means we would go look at the planet Venus to learn more about what's going on with work, as well as the cusp of the 10th house. And the big news for you right now is your midheaven ruler Venus is receiving a conjunction from transiting Neptune, and that's really big. Neptune, in fact, is getting ready to station very close to Venus this summer. So when transiting Neptune comes along, it has one of two effects. It either dissolves or it spiritualizes. And in this case, clearly there's been a dissolution factor. May I ask when the job ended for you?
February 10th.
February 10th. So Neptune was within 3 degrees of Venus at that time. And in my observation, and also according to Rick Tarnas in his wonderful book, Cosmos and Psyche, when a transiting planet gets within 3 degrees of its aspect to a natal point, it turns on really strong. And so Neptune dissolved that job at that time. Now, one of the great things about Neptune is you can harness him using law of attraction. Do you want to focus the question into, like, next best job, or did you want to focus in another direction here?
I guess next best job. I want to get back into being more creative in my employment. And,
oh, perfect.
And honoring that creativity that I have more. I don't think I've honored it much. I was always more being practical about getting a paycheck.
Right. Well, you could not have asked for a better transit then. Okay, let's talk about the natal Venus and the Neptune conjunction that's coming on top of it. Venus and Neptune together represent personal creativity and divine inspiration. One of the natal meanings of Venus is the artist, and Neptune is the divine inspiration. These are different types of creativity. Venus by herself, just as a naked planet, is, okay, I'm going to think up something creative to do. My ego is going to, of its own effort, try to do something creative. But the Neptunian-style creativity is, oh, my God, the muse just sang to me, and there's the inspiration right there. Now, I should mention that you've got Neptune and its archetypal flow very strongly on your career ruling Venus anyway. You have Venus in Pisces, which, and in astrology, Pisces and Neptune are exact synonyms. One's a sign and one's a planet, but they mean exactly the same thing. And in your natal chart, your natal Neptune is trine Venus. So you've got a double hit of that Pisces-Neptune energy already. So since we know that Venus rules your career, it makes perfect sense that you would do something creative for a living. And whether that's, you know, music, art, theater, writing, whatever, you know, a creative career is explicitly supported in this chart as a really good idea. And then to have transiting Neptune add even more inspiration on top of everything else, and Neptune's going to be on Venus for about 3 years. It's going to be a long transit. You have plenty of time to have this inspiration flow in and shape, and you can shape it into something that makes money. Can you conceive of a way that you could do a creative work and have it be and make enough money at it?
Well, in the past, I've worked in advertising as a photographer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of getting at that point in age-wise where I'm not sure I want to keep doing that.
Okay.
Even though it keeps coming up no matter what job I do, it seems to find its way in there.
Hmm.
I also really like court. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know what sign and planet rule photography in astrology?
Yeah, it's Neptune.
Yeah, and Pisces.
Right.
So photography is one of the choices there. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Because I also worked in the film business, so I knew that kind of all worked in sync there.
Yeah, same deal. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if that Mars retrograde has affected me a lot as far as my ability to progress forward and trying to activate my job hunting a little better, do you think?
Well, I don't see that Mars is really a major planet for you in that context. You know, just because Mars is retrograde doesn't mean it's meaningful in an area of your life unless that's indicated by your chart. Now, Mars is the ruler of Aries, and it's the ancient ruler of Scorpio. You've got Aries on your ninth house cusp. You have Scorpio on your fourth house. Neither of those houses has anything to do with career. And the natal placement of Mars is in the seventh house, which is about relationships, not work. So I don't see any reason why the Mars retrograde would really make a lot of difference in terms of your work hunt, because in your chart, Mars is not really set up as a work-related planet, and it doesn't even carry the natal meaning of work. So it's important to understand retrogrades in context based on how they actually affect your chart. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. So I wouldn't see
any reason why the Mars retrograde would in any way impede your forward motion on a job hunt.
Okay.
Can I ask you one more thing? In your way. Go ahead.
Because I know Neptune also and Pisces has a tendency towards escapism.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. Well, I know I have I drift off of my imagination a little too often. And will that be like me getting myself grounded, being kind of a part of this transit that you're talking about?
Depends how you use it. Again, you have transit Neptune on your career ruler. And again, you know, what you're calling daydreaming and space out may be when you get your best creative ideas for your work. So allowing some of that into your workflow, if that's where your inspiration comes, could actually be part of your job strategy, right? And it also, you know, that if that's when you tune into your divine wisdom, then that could also be when you get all these great ideas about how to get the next job. So that quote, daydreaming time can be really productive if you focus it right, okay?
Right,
One way you can use Neptune in a very practical way under this aspect is that Neptune is half of the law of attraction equation. Neptune is visualization and imagination, and Saturn, its compatriot in this cycle, is crystallization and making it real. I'm just checking for now. Transiting Saturn is not really hitting anything work related, so you'll have to work on the Neptune side more. But Neptune is supporting you visualizing and imagining the kind of work you want to do because it's on your career ruler. And again, as I said, it has a natal connection to that planet Venus anyway. So I would very much be, you know, here's how I would do the law of attraction work if you're called to this. It's a simple four-step process. Step one, and I have an article on my site that details this, is called The Law of Attraction Made Simple. Four bullet points. One, write down exactly what you want without any compromise. Give your order exactly the way you want it to be. Step two, imagine in your mind that you've already got it. See the wish fulfilled. Use all five senses. Step three, have powerful, positive emotions as you hold this vision. Yay, wahoo, I got it. Yeah. You know, that kind of excitement. And the fourth step is very important. Then you use the karma-free safety clause. You say, this or something better. And what you're doing is you just say, hey, universe, as far as I know what I want, what Holly wants, I just told you. But if you, my higher aspect that is so much wiser than Holly could ever be, see something that needs to be changed or revised about what I just called in, go for it. You want to ensure that it's good for everybody, because this or something better is a shortcut for the phrase, this or something better now manifests for the highest good of all concerned. And thus knowing that, you know, your higher self has your back and will make any needed changes to what actually comes in, you can visualize with full power, absolute enthusiasm, and no worries. Because if it what you're calling it isn't exactly right, then it will be modified on the way in so that it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that Neptune on Venus.
I don't know what I exactly want.
Okay, but now I'll tell you one other super quick story then. Then go for the closest thing you know. You know, when I finally had the guts to leave Oklahoma at the age of 41 to move here to Asheville, North Carolina, and follow my dream finally for the first time of being a musician, you know, I had incredible moment. I said, okay, I'm not even going to take a day job. I'm just going to do this full time right from the start. And I gave everything I had to the music career. Turned out to be the wrong track. I was really supposed to be an astrologer next. But, you know, synchronistically, I got to Asheville, met a professional astrologer who became my best friend, Kelly Lee Phipps, and I became his mentee. And, you know, by moving someplace to be a musician, I ended up doing my astrology training. And when I was finally ready to throw in the towel as a musician, I was ready to go out as an astrologer. So the moral of this story is to get momentum. You know, you don't have to pick the one perfect thing. Okay, the important thing is to pick something that you're excited about and give it everything you've got. Then you will have that critical aspect momentum that makes it so much easier for your inner wisdom to shift you onto another track if that will be the right one later. So don't get tangled up in your underwear overanalyzing, is this exactly the right thing I'm supposed to be doing? You know, pick the thing that seems the best right now, knowing that you can keep shifting them anyway over time. Very few people do just the same thing forever anymore. Just pick the one now, get momentum, and then it will be very easy to shift gears to something else because you'll have that critical momentum going behind you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that would be my own advice.
Thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome. Thanks, Holly.
All right. Thank you.
We'd like to thank our callers for calling in. We got about 4 minutes. I guess we could take another quick call. Area code 310-339. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
So we've got very little time, so let me jump right in and get your chart up. What is your first name?
Melissa, you have it, Benjamin. It's 52163.
Okay, go ahead and just give me the rest so I don't have to go look it up. The time is?
1:25 a.m., Adelaide, Australia.
And spell Adelaide for me, please.
Adelaide.
Thank you. Can we get it up here? All right, just a moment. And what is your brief question?
When is something coming in career-wise?
Okay, let's have a look. No direct hits to the midheaven at 16 Sagittarius soon. By the way, I did pull up May 21, 1963, 1:25 a.m. Adelaide, Australia, with Pisces rising 17 degrees, 23 minutes.
Correct.
However, wow, you've got this grand cross lining up close to your career ruler, Jupiter. Your Jupiter's at 10 degrees, 20 minutes. It rules your midheaven. And you've already had Uranus all over this planet for at least a year now, probably longer. So your question again is, what's the next career piece and when is it coming? Is that your question?
Yes.
Well, it could come any time. Let's watch Uranus by movement. He's already completed his last exact conjunction to Jupiter and is now slowly moving away, but he's still really close. My question to you would be, have you gotten intuitive flashes about that? Because that would be the most obvious way that transit Uranus would communicate to you about the optimal career scenario.
No. I've been doing personal changes, but I'm ready for an actual. And is conjunct 3 degrees?
Well, I consider that to be the potent orb of influence. Conjunct is, you know, literally conjunct, but he'll be within that orb for about another 5 weeks or so before he goes beyond the orb. And in terms of, because the Grand Cross is the whole story around this. Now, you've still got Pluto squaring Jupiter by orb. Pluto will retrograde back and land with less than a degree off its square in the fall. So even after Uranus moves along and completes his stimulation, you'll still have Pluto going on through early 2015 to your natal Jupiter. So you've still got revolutionary change going there. So the timing says, it's an excellent time to make a shift. But to know the nature of the shift, we'd have to have more time than we do because we're about 1 minute from showtime close, and there's just no time to get into it. But what I would suggest to you is, you know, so have you already left the old job and you're between right now?
Always.
Okay. So nothing to release because it's already gone.